And it is another week. This is Andrew Wood, joined as always by good friend and pastor Jason Hayes of Shoreline Church. Jason, how you doing?
I'm fantastic.
That's good. You know, it seems like we took last week off.
We did.
You probably.
I'm sure that our listeners have grieved.
Our email box is full.
Absolutely.
Sure. You don't even know the email, but it's full.
But it
you've
is
able to,
very
you've
full.
Been able to get to it. And so, you might not have known that listening live on Joy 620. Because the show still went on, but it
right.
was probably an old show.
It was.
But we did take last week off for Thanksgiving, and
how was yours?
Mine was good. We went to my father-in-law's house. He lives in, we say Livingston, but I think technically his address is Monterey. So
nice.
if you're driving toward Cookeville, yeah, you just get off at the
Monterey.
Did
we take the 15-passenger van?
Did we? Yeah, of course we did.
Okay, just making sure.
And, and then we, you know, some family members pulled up and they're like, whose is that? And we're like, oh, that's mine. And I'm proud of it. So,
I like it.
Shut
you
your
should
mouth.
Be proud of it.
And so we, but the great thing about going, and it's the same as if we go to my dad's, For those of us that have smartphones and cell phones, it's just been so natural for us for so long. But when I call my dad or when I'm at my father-in-law's house, you have to stand by a window upstairs to get any service. And then
wow.
at that, you're still maybe getting to 3G, but LTE
wow.
4G is just out there. That's just not happening. So what it does is it forces us in a good way.
Wait. So you're telling me you guys talk.
We did.
Together.
I actually here
like in human
if,
interaction.
If you know me, the iPhone is always close by. Here's
indeed.
What I did. I actually took it upstairs and just plugged it in and didn't even have it on me because there was no sense of it. Like there was nothing I could get to nothing on it. And so yeah, we talked and we enjoyed each other's company and it was good family time. And my father-in-law lives in a log house.
Oh, cool.
Out on a lot of land, and the property that connects to it is a hunting reservation. So on the way, you see elk and buffalo, and they're just out there. So the kids love it too, because it's just like you're driving, like it's not normal.
That's
you know?
Awesome.
And hunting is very loose. You don't have to hunt those animals very hard when you drive into that field, but, you know, it's capitalism. So.
Yes, man.
So how was your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, so we went to South Carolina. My wife's mother lives in Polly's Island, South Carolina, which is pretty fantastic.
Similar to Monterey.
I was about to say, it sounds like it was almost the exact opposite of your experience. But man, we had a good time. The catch is my mother-in-law is an amazing cook, which sounds like a really, really great thing. But when you're in the winter at the mm-hmm. beach, one, so we're not really going to the beach. We
sure.
went to the beach one day. It was a little bit warmer that day. But for the most part, all of this cold snap that we're in here in the South has hit them as well. And so it's cold there. We don't leave the house a lot because she is such a great cook.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not going out to restaurants and we're not really into all the Black Friday shopping
sure.
and all that other stuff. And so we pulled in on Tuesday. And when we were leaving on Saturday, I realized that our vehicle had not moved, you know, and so it's a lot of family time.
Yeah.
Which is really, really great. And it is a lot of family
I
time.
I understand.
No, but it was good, man. We had a really, really good time and managed to not get too bad into all the traffic and
well,
things.
Well, good.
Of that
well,
sort.
We, on the way to Livingston, we left Wednesday night, there was apparently a big wreck, on the interstate. And so we were like bumper to bumper going 3 miles an hour for probably about an hour. And then we get to where whatever was supposed to happen and there was nothing. And so I don't.
Isn't that deflating?
It's not
terrible that you don't want to wish.
I told somebody yesterday, I don't want to see anybody get hurt.
No.
Especially right by Thanksgiving.
No.
I don't want to see that.
But I need to see
if I've been
something.
Sitting in traffic for an hour, I need to see some type of carnage. And that's, that's a terrible thing to say.
Could we have just settled so, like, I could have
something.
Just, I need to see something. It
something.
Doesn't have to be
a
garbage,
record,
but
even
something.
Like,
yeah.
that just pulled the vehicle away.
Right.
None of that. It was just we got up there and I was like, oh, we've been going slow for no reason.
How does it feel to be a terrible human?
It is. I'm just stating what everybody thinks. I'm just being honest.
No, I get it. I get
and
it.
So
right,
yeah.
So we've had big Thanksgivings.
We
it's
have.
Been great, and now we're fixing our eyes on Christmas.
That's right.
And so that's what we're going to talk about
and
today.
And on Bing Crosby and Dean Martin and Frank Sinatra.
Yes.
That's what we're fixing our
Yes. Eyes on. So Christmas decorations are now everywhere. They have been everywhere, for that matter, when it comes to Lowe's and Home Depot and all of our Hobby Lobby and everywhere else. They've been here for a month. But even in our neighborhood, even in our own home, things are going up. Christmas is, or at least Christmas season has arrived. The big question today, though, is how do we manage to not be let down by the Christmas season? And how do we manage to stay focused on that which matters most?
Yeah, it's difficult. I even remember as a child, the lead up to Christmas, we were a very Christmas loving, and maybe not always for the right reasons, but Christmas loving family. And we got into it. We had a record player. My dad had speakers around the house. Like, so we would go to sleep listening to Alabama singing Christmas music, like all the time. Good stuff.
Wow.
My parents divorced when I was 14, but my happiest memories always, I go back to Christmas time, at the Woodhouse. And so it was always, but I always remember the day after Christmas.
Good grief.
Was
it
just
so heavy.
Was like, oh, now it's done.
Yeah.
And again, it wasn't my focus on, hey, we're celebrating our Savior. It was all the fun stuff, all the music, all the cookies, all the happy moments are
and all
over.
Stuff, pageantry.
And I always find myself at this time of year, like I'll go on YouTube and I'll watch old Bing Crosby specials and old Dean Martin specials. Like there's part of me that wants, not that I was even born then, but
yeah, I was gonna say, you act like you grew up with
but
those
there's,
guys.
There's like, part of me that wishes I were there. Like it's a very weird thing for me.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. And I've been I've been there. And in recent years, I've actually found myself, I don't want to call myself a Scrooge, you know, exactly, but I'm almost so protective of my heart that it's sometimes like on certain football seasons, I say, I'm not going to get into it.
Certain football seasons.
Potentially this one, you know.
Last five.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not going to allow my heart to be broken. You know, literally like, feel like I'm going back to high school relationships. You know, I'm not going to allow my heart to be broken. And there's something really wonderful to celebrate, and it is a sweet season, and there are all kinds of wonderful traditions and things that might not necessarily even be super Christ-centered that we can enjoy without giving our heart away to those things. And so that's what we're trying to wrestle with even as we talk today.
Yeah, I posted last night that yesterday was Cyber Monday.
Right.
So, yeah, Black Friday, which is big deal
which
for shopping.
Multiple times on Friday, what a terrible pastor I am, but multiple times got my language flipped up and called it Good Friday.
Okay.
It is not Good Friday. I want to be very clear.
It's not Good Friday.
I had to have a sit down conversation with my youngest son to say, I've now twice said Good Friday. Let me clarify. This is not Good Friday. This is different.
I'm glad you clarified that. That would change some things when he goes to class.
Things get complicated, right?
So we had Black Friday, Cyber Monday, and I posted last night that
we have a local small business Saturday.
Sure. Yeah, all those stuff. Right. Every day is something.
Right.
Tomorrow or Tuesday of this week was Giving Tuesday. Like
correct.
Every day is something. And so we have. I joked last night on Facebook and saying, my name is Andrew Wood. It's currently Cyber Monday and I have items in carts all over the web.
Amazing.
And I'm a cartaholic. It doesn't mean that I go actually follow through. What my email is now is a bunch of people, all these companies going, we're still waiting.
It's not too late.
It's sitting in your cart, you know. And so
I like to put things in my cart on like Friday. And Saturday and Sunday, and then I wait till Cyber Monday hits
and see if the prices have adjusted.
Any.
Haven't tried that.
I had very little success.
Yeah, and so
not so much because I even went back and looked, mostly because I just got caught up.
We find ourselves doing those things, and a lot of people commented and interacted with that post because I think all of us find a tendency. It's easy to sit on the couch or sit at your desk or whatever and just add things to a cart, add things to a cart. And so we turned this season into a season of not celebration, but a season of debt, a season of interest rates, a season of, well, this will make me
right
happier. This will make so-and-so happier. So we even justify it by saying, well, I'm buying the gift for somebody else. And so it's gonna make them happier. And what we tend to neglect is, well, where is our focus?
Right.
And then our focus gets skewed and into places it doesn't need to be.
Yeah, it's really easy for this to become a materialism conversation or a consumerism mm-hmm. conversation. We've had that conversation. Yep. In fact, you can go back and check out the archives and our podcast. We talked about materialism not too many weeks ago. But this is really, I think, probably more about our heart. And it's not to say that the way that we spend our money and the way that we steward the things that we have aren't a heart issue. But I think this is maybe even a broader conversation than just materialism. It feels a lot about where are we placing some hope and where maybe are we seeking to find joy? You know, mm-hmm. for me, I mean, we sing joy to the world, and yet really, are we looking in this season for joy from Jesus? Or are we looking to find joy from sparkly lights and all the pageantry and the yummy cookies and mm-hmm. the things that come along with the season that again are okay to like, but when we try to find joy in them, that's where I think we find ourselves on the 26th. And
well, and it happens because those things are not fulfilling. Right. Those things are not satisfying. You're just not going to find it there. And I do think there's a happy place where we can celebrate. Like I said, I mean, I was listening to Christmas music like Halloween, like I was on it. I love some Christmas music. And so I think there's a happy place for us to celebrate and enjoy. And for me, it's looking back and going, man, some of the best memories are from the Christmas season in my life. So it's not that we want to be a bunch of Scrooges. It's that, but if that season doesn't also encompass Advent, doesn't also encompass the longing, the celebrating of the first Advent and the longing for the second Advent, which we can talk about here in a second, because I know Shoreline's got a lot of Advent stuff planned. But as we look at that, we need to be a people, a Christian people, that need to be not ones that are saying, oh, they didn't say Merry Christmas to me at the Target, and now I'm going to write an ugly review on them. Well,
one star.
You know,
I demand a Merry Christmas.
Give me a break. That's exactly. You know, and so again, I'll be honest, I was that guy just a few years ago that I was like, how dare they say happy holidays to me? They know what this is. And so that's not helpful, and that's not winning anybody over.
Yeah, exactly.
That's not pointing people to Christ. And so what we have to do is find that middle ground where we do celebrate these things. We go to the Christmas events and if you want to do the lights and all of those things. But at no point should those things replace our Jesus.
And I think when we come back, what I want us to talk a bit about is why do we want this season to feel so special? And maybe why does it feel so special? But also, when we get to the bottom of that, I think it helps us understand a little bit more as to what we're looking for. We'll be back.
From our fears and sins,
what's that in the background, Jason?
That is me singing.
That is, man. And that's me on the guitar.
That is not either one of us.
No, that is Shoreline Worship. That's a Christmas album from last year.
Right? Absolutely. Last year? I think year before last.
2 years.
Yep.
So this, I point that out to say, we're not Scrooges.
We love Christmas.
I mean, Shoreline even put out an album.
Is this the moment that I now have to confess that we actually have zero Christmas decorations up at the Hayes home?
You're a terrible person.
Only because we are in the middle of a kitchen renovation. We are not even, we're not even living in our home right
When's
now.
When's the renovation done?
Next week.
Okay.
So we're not even living in our home this week because they're finishing the floors. And so
I have a van.
You do have a van. We can park it down near the river.
That's
if we
right.
wanted. But,
that's right.
But yeah, we have a plan put in place that as soon as the floors are done, there's still like kind of final things that have to happen next week. But this weekend, Christmas decor is hitting the Hayes home.
That's good.
We are pro Christmas. We are pro Christmas pageantry.
That's good.
We are not the Scrooge, but we don't want our heart to be let down on things that are fleeting.
Right. And so before we ended the last segment, and we were even talking off air that at Christmas time, this season for many of us. You know, we're walking through, a lot of us come to Christmas and maybe it brings up bad memories because the truth of the matter is there are some people absent from the table that might have been at the table
right.
last year.
Right.
And so whether that was through death or divorce or just anger or bitterness, whatever that looks like, even, you know, God forbid politics, there might right. be some things that are taking people away from the table.
I did see a, you know, it was some type of meme or something. No, actually it wasn't a meme. It was, I think CNN actually had something
kind of
about how to talk about politics over Thanksgiving meal or something like that. And I just wanted to, you know, just do a screenshot of it and write over it. Don't.
Yeah.
Just
how about
do
that?
Not.
How about you don't do that?
Right.
Yeah, anyway. That'd be great. And
yeah.
so we have these moments where, but on the other side of that, there's also a lot of, you know, great feelings.
Nostalgia.
And like you were talking about off air of saying that, it seems, at least for me, I can speak from personal experience. When I look back at Christmas, my family worked better
right.
around the holidays. My parents got along more. There was more of the community coming together. So we try to do those things around the holidays, but at some point, December 26th is coming.
Right.
You know, the new year is coming. And so we have to be a people that aren't putting all of our hope in what might be. And I'm a Hallmark movie Christmas.
Yep.
I love them.
All
of them.
38 of them with the same story.
All of the same story.
And some of which same actors even. Just
exactly.
different characters.
And DJ
actors.
Tanner from Full House has really made a great living after Full House on
well
Hallmark.
Done. Well done.
And so as we have those moments, we look and we long for that.
Right.
But the reality is maybe it's a lot different and maybe it's because we can look at Genesis 3 and see why it's different.
Yeah, I think you're hitting at it right there. Is that why do we feel that way? Why is there for some of us? And I appreciate you saying, you know, in fact, we're doing a study, kind of a community piece with Shoreline about surviving the holidays for those that are either experiencing loss, for those that this brings back hardship and difficult memories. But for a lot of us, there is nostalgia. There's really kind of positive mm-hmm. things. And what do we gain and glean out of that? What I think we see is there is at least a tip of the hat to some very temporal solutions towards an eternal struggle. And the eternal struggle is what we see in Genesis 3, as you referenced. I mean, we see sin come into the world. Mm-hmm. We see communion with God immediately impacted. And so we see Adam and Eve, you know, go and hide. There's shame. There's isolation. But then we also see these dynamics that come into play, not just between God and man, but between man and man. Mm-hmm. You know, between the people of the earth, there becomes all of this conflict and insecurity. And if you listen to the show regularly, you know, we talk often about how sin doesn't just begat more sin. It brings on fallenness. So fallenness comes in the world. So you then have sickness and you have anxiety and you have depression and you have sorrow and grief and all of these things that come with fallenness. But during the holidays, for some of us, we saw what felt like maybe just a really short respite mm-hmm. from some of that. You know, for some of us, as you said, it felt like at least for a day or two or for a week or two, mom and dad tried to get along.
Yep.
for even just a moment or two, even if it was an afternoon, our whole family got to go together. I mean, for many of us, we didn't get to spend a ton of time with our grandparents or our cousins or people that we wish we could have. And so there's these positive things that are again being just this temporary respite from the realities of a fallen world. And even the idea of sitting around a table together
yeah.
and enjoying fellowship and enjoying a meal, these are things that are of the Lord in many ways. And yet we also know they are not the reality 364 other days of the year for many of us. And so what we see is this really small moment where it feels like the fallenness of the world is being remedied, but the truth is it's not. The only thing that is remedying fallenness is Jesus. And so we can try to find temporal satisfaction from some of the things that come with the fallen world, or we can just look to the one that overcame it and conquered it and allows us to find some hope within it.
Well, and what kind of amplifies that is, it's, you know, I've been doing a lot of reading lately on, again, because this time of the year, for whatever reason, like, makes me wish that I was a lot older than I am.
Right.
And so I've been reading a lot of things on people of the 40s, people of the 50s. And the,
you know, when you grew up with Bing,
yeah,
you know,
Crosby, all my boys,
y'all were writing some music pack, back in the day,
yeah, and the smoking cigs and all that stuff. And so as we look at that, the part that's interesting is, back then, to compare yourself to other families, you had to actually be like, see other people.
Right.
In 2018, you see post after post on Facebook and Instagram and all these things, and you're looking and going, wow, their Christmas setup's perfect, or their, you know, fill in the blank is perfect. And it creates more, and most of the time, it creates more anxiety for us.
Correct.
You may click like on that, but in reality, if we're honest, there's anxiety, there may be some bitterness.
Your heart was clicking something different.
Very
much so. You clicked
like,
but your heart was clicking bitterness,
yep,
or jealousy or envy or even frustration with your own, yep, circumstances. I mean, there's a lot there.
And so we have to,
so
have
just
to
know that if I've liked any of your posts in recent days, all of it was harboring
anger,
something much
and
deeper.
I get that.
Yeah.
And I get that.
In fact, if you just want to go back completely through all posts that you've ever had on any platform, yeah, of social media, know that I was harboring, yeah, other
and
things.
And I would prefer no one go back to about 2 years ago and look at any of my posts. That would be great.
Yeah.
Don't go look at any of them.
Yeah, we don't.
Because I wasn't just being bitter, hiding it. I was being bitter outwardly.
That's good.
And not
That's good.
Good. And
so, sanctification.
And so we have to look at that and go, okay, we recognize in our own selves, like, yeah, I have a tendency to do this, and I'm longing for something that may not be reality, but I'm longing for my hope in,
right,
the people around me instead of in a God that saved me.
Right. And it's not just the people that we're looking to find hope in. I mean, we wouldn't just come out and say, I'm looking to find hope in sparkling lights, right, and, you know, the snowman, snow globe. But there is this truth that it's a lot easier in some ways for me just to go hang up some Christmas lights than for me to be a daily follower of Jesus.
Yeah,
you know,
100%.
For me to create space in my life, for me to make the sacrifice, to focus on intimacy with Him. I mean, those things require not just obedience, but they require discipline.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't require a ton of discipline for me to say, I'm just going to make a bunch of cookies.
Right.
It's going to make me feel good for a moment.
Yep.
But again, that's where the cookies run out on the 26th or January 3rd, you know, whenever, yeah, we stop eating them and we feel like, we missed it again. We'll continue, yep, to talk about this when we come back.
So before we get back into the topic, favorite Christmas song, Jason?
Wow, that is a lot
and
of
don't
pressure.
Jesus juke me. It
that
doesn't
is a
necessarily
lot of
have
pressure.
To be just favorite Christmas song. What's the first one that comes to mind?
I'm probably going to still go with the classic Silent Night.
That's good.
Because I just have such good memories of lighting candles on Christmas,
yeah,
Eve services and things of that sort. And that's a tradition that even we still,
yep,
hold with Shoreline. So I'm going to go with Silent Night. You?
Well, I'm
grandma got ran over by reindeer.
No, that's my least favorite.
Yeah,
because I love my grandma.
Christmas Shoes?
No, my gosh, no. But I will say, the first time I watched that movie, I was in a radio station playing country music, and I got sucked into the movie that's based on the song,
right,
or songs based on the movie, one or the other. And there I was, an 18-year-old man crying in a radio station, going, "What is wrong with me?"
So. You know, we talk about almost every week that we have a moment that's a pastoral confession.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moment of pastoral confession. I'm not actually sure that I could recognize the song Christmas Shoes. I really don't know if I know it.
That's probably not a bad thing. That's probably good.
I know that it is kind of this phenomenon that everyone, some people love it and a lot of people hate it. So I'm familiar with it, but I actually don't know that I know the song.
Yeah.
So with that said, I would like to declare here, it is my new favorite Christmas song. That's good.
My favorite probably, and mainly because of the memories, anything from Alabama, the group, the country singing group, anything Christmas.
Because Chuck Hooton is from Alabama.
And Chuck Hooton knows this song, and very few people know the song that I'm about to mention.
Right.
But we've had a conversation, Chuck and I, and Thistle Bear the Christmas Hare.
Wow.
Spreading the good news everywhere. And so it is, I don't really know. I've tried to listen to the words and really get an idea of what the song is about.
I have no idea what the song is about, but I immediately am drawn towards your red beard and that
thistle hair.
Yeah, and
the Christmas
all that
bear.
Stuff.
Maybe that's my connection, but that song, as soon as it comes on, when I hear it, it takes me back to some really, really happy places. So
speaking of taking back, hopefully our listeners are joining us again after they've turned away or changed away for the last 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So let's get back
now
into this
back
conversation.
To the topic. So as we're looking at this and some of you are going, yeah, I get it. I don't want to get lost in the pageantry. I don't want to be so into Christmas that I miss Jesus throughout the season. So let's talk about some practical steps that we can put in place in our families. Maybe you don't have kids, maybe you're not married, but what are some things that we can do to shift focus? And even amongst all the lights and the what we love about the Christmas season, the secular side of it, what are some things we can do to point us to Jesus throughout this time?
Yeah. So yesterday I got a phone call from my middle son, Henley. And Henley is 9, and I get a phone call from him. I'm wrapping up the day. As I said to you, we're not living in our house this week. Yesterday was really the first day out. And so we kind of packed up, earlier this week we packed up. And so I get this phone call from Henley in the afternoon, and he is frantic because apparently the Nintendo Switch, and not just one Nintendo Switch, but two Nintendo Switches, one which is his, the other one which is his younger brother's. That is basically like a little handheld gaming device.
Right, like a Game Boy.
Correct. Yes, exactly. but not as cool. Anyways, it had been left in the home. And so I am getting this conversation from Henley, and the problem is, though, he's on speakerphone. We're staying with my parents for this week, and so there's multiple conversations happening in the room. There's multiple siblings trying to voice their instructions on where the Nintendo Switch is and what pieces I need to get, and it's just chaos. And eventually, I just have to say to Henley, everybody stop. Just stop. Who is even talking? I mean, I'm saying this, on the phone. And I said, I need to hear one voice. And I think there's a certain piece of that when we think about Christmas. There are some voices we probably need to turn down some. I'm not saying we have to completely kill all the noise. You know, we don't have to get rid of every Christmas song and every Christmas show and stop going to, you know, the pageants and all that other stuff. I'm not saying that. But we need to consider what are the voices that we're getting right now. And so one thing that Carrie and I even discussed a couple of days ago when we were, a few days ago when we were driving back from South Carolina, my temptation is to jump on the calendar and start planning out. Like legitimately, we typed in Knoxville, Christmas events. And you start seeing all of these wonderful options. And again, great. We have a Christmas event.
Yeah, Hope does.
We're sure one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so that's okay. But the temptation was to put something on every day. And a good portion of that stuff really didn't have anything to do with the gospel. I hope that, the Hope event, the Shoreline event are gospel oriented events. But there's all kinds of stuff. Just go look at the lights, go bake cookies, go do this, go to this activity. And so you've got all this voice, all this noise that's pushing the pageantry of the holiday. And unfortunately, we miss some of the voice that reminds us of the Jesus that's the center of the holiday. And so that's the stuff we have to really elevate. What do you guys do in your home or things that you'd recommend to make sure we get that voice, the gospel sure. piece of it?
I think, I mean, even as a kid, again, I look back and we always celebrated Advent, even in a, and I hesitate to call it a broken home, but even in a home that wasn't what it needed to be, there was room always during the Christmas season. Every Sunday we lit a candle. You know, my dad would read a scripture and go from there. Paul David Tripp has an amazing Advent, book that I would highly recommend to you to kind of help get your focus where it needs to be, even if that means at night around the table, or maybe you don't have time to do dinner around the table at night. Sometime take some time. It doesn't take that long, about 5 minutes to read that, a couple pages and get your heart and mind centered on what you need to be centered on. And because we need to, if we are Jesus believing people, Bible believing people, then we are a people that are longing for the second advent.
Right.
Well, we can't long for the second advent if we're not celebrating the first coming of Jesus, which is what we celebrate here during the Advent season. And so I would do that. Shoreline also sent out an email yesterday yeah. about what to do with your kids. And so the Paul David Tripp may be a better option for, you and your spouse or you alone, for an adult, a teenager, but
yeah, Desiring God has a great resource.
God has a great,
the Sojourn Network has a great resource.
Village Church in Texas. There's so yeah. many places that have good stuff. All you got to do is Google Advent calendar, Advent. You're going to find tons of stuff. It right. doesn't even have to involve lighting a candle if you don't want it to. But get your family's focus. And what I find with four kids, with three that are, you know, soon to be 3 year old all the way to seven, who are really seeing like, I want this, I want that, I want that. That's what Christmas is to them at this point. And then a soon to be 11 month old that just kind of crawls around
right.
and hasn't really voiced anything. But what I'm watching is how do we, and it's a constant struggle, how do we get them to a place of not just always wanting something else?
Right.
And so this will help us even at night as you tuck them into bed, hey, look, this is the Advent season. What is that? This, we celebrate the coming of Jesus. And walk through that. The Jesus Storybook Bible is a great resource for that. And so getting our hearts and minds at some point to steady, and like you were saying, get the noise out of the way to really focus on what we need to be focusing on. And what you'll find is when we do that, it makes the lights and things more special
right.
because now you're seeing it through the lens of the gospel, not through the lens of a fallen secular world that is trying to sell you something all the time.
Yeah, I'm reminded of a trip that I was on the other side of the world a few months ago, and I won't go into the location just for the security of our partners there, but it was in the middle of this massive season of a religious festival. And so as we're entering into this community, at the beginning of our time there, they're celebrating this festival and they're worshiping a false god. And yet the crazy thing was, so we're there for 10 or 12 days. And at the end, we're visibly seeing that the festival has ended. And now all of the idols that have been made that people have been worshiping over the last several days legitimately are being tossed into the river, are being found in the corners of the street. I mean, it is a visible reminder of just the emptiness of a false god. And yet I just wonder how many people from an outsider's perspective would look at America and say, this is the very same thing they're doing mm-hmm. with Santa Claus or with Rudolph or any of those things. And again, we're not the legalists that say right. you're a terrible person if you've got Santa in your home. But is there the idea that we're packing up something that doesn't have to be packed up? You know, we got to pack up the decorations, but we don't have to pack up Jesus.
Right.
He stays with us throughout the entire year. That's why we're going to focus on him during the season. Maybe we focus a little less on all the gifts and focus a little bit more on the generosity and the one that was ultimately willing to take the form of a servant, Jesus. We'll talk a little bit more about that.
And I can assure you, if you do that, come the 26th, you're not going to regret that.
That's right.
We'll be back. You know, kids singing Christmas music, good. It may not ever get any better than that.
So good.
Yeah.
And I would agree.
So as we...
Those were my children's names.
I think they're Chuck's probably.
Now that I think about it, I don't have daughters. So yes, yeah. They were his.
Those are my children as well. As we finish up, let's... Again, what we're trying to encourage you is we're not making statements on what exactly needs to occur during Christmas season for you as far as do you go to this event,
right.
Do you go to this parade, do you
That's
sit on Santa's lap,
That's
do you do all of that? That's
life.
Like yeah. just... You need to really talk through that. That's a family thing. My family, we're all believers. My brothers do Christmas different than we do Christmas here. And so, that doesn't make them wrong, doesn't make us right. It just, we do it differently because we've had conversations and are trying to seek out where the Lord would have us. But there are a couple things that you can look to and whether that be a Christmas Eve service, which I know Shoreline's going to have a few different options for you. Other churches are as well. But coming up in, not this weekend, but next weekend, we have Lessons and Carols. And you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we're super fired up to actually partner with two other churches in our community, City Church and Hope Fellowship, on two different things this season. So one of which is basically a Christmas cantata. It's not a cantata. I'm sorry. I just wanted to say that
word.
I'll
be playing. It's actually the Scrooge. You know, yeah, Christmas Carol.
Yes,
I'll be playing Tiny Tim.
It is not either one of those things, but it is a Christmas concert. It'll be really, really worshipful. But it is going to be an amazing night. It's at the Bijou Theater. Here's the scoop. You can go to Knox Lessons and Carols. We are at capacity. We have sold every ticket. And when I say sold, people have reserved those. Mm-hmm. There's no cost to it. But you can jump on a waiting list there. And I would also just mention to any of our listeners that have actually already reserved tickets, if you deem that you're not going to need one or two of yours or you're not going to be able to make it, you can go straight back to that same website and turn those in. Please, please, please don't hold seats that you're not going to use when other people want in. And then we're also doing something called GiveKnoxville.com. And this is where we're trying to provide Christmas gifts for every foster child in Knox County DCS care. And so 230 children, we're trying to provide gifts for each and every one of them and some support also to the families that are caring for them. And so we'd encourage you to participate in that. Again, just another opportunity to try to focus on that which really, really matters. Ultimately, when we think about adoption, we think about foster children, we think about a picture of the gospel. And so I hope that that would point you towards the gospel this Christmas season.
Yeah. And at Hope Resource Center, we try to do a Christmas concert. Last year we did it with Lawson Bates and partnered with Black Oak Heights Baptist Church and did it there. This year we're going to be having Josh Loveless, who plays keyboard for Need to Breathe.
Have you heard the new acoustic album,
yes.
Need to Breathe?
Oh
so good.
It's man. Really good.
And they've got an acoustic tour.
Yeah, very, very good. And so Josh Loveless that plays keys, and he also came out with a children's album called Young Folk a few months back, and maybe 6 months back. And it's been amazing and really has won a lot of awards. And so Josh is a friend of Hope and just, he's going to be putting on a concert for us. We're going to do it at One Life, their campus out at Easttown. And it's just going to be a great night of fellowship. It's kid friendly. We want you to bring your kids and be a part of that. You can go to investinghope.com to learn more. And we would encourage you to do that. But we appreciate Josh for partnering with us, and some friends will probably be there with him as well. Now, don't hear me say that's not me saying Need to Breathe is going to be there.
Right,
I do not
right,
want you to
right.
think that. Okay, that is not what I mean by that. But he has other friends that also are doing well in the music industry, and we would encourage you to be a part of that. It's going to be a great time. What we would encourage you as we are about to start full blown into December. Keep your eyes focused on the one that we are called to celebrate, not just during Christmas, but every single day, and that is Jesus.
Yeah, Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays, I'll also be Santa at the mall. Okay, that's
on.
Not true. We'll
Come
see
on.
You next week.
All right, talk to you.